Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Just to give a bit of background, we're starting a series, Harry said, about serving, what it means to serve Christ. And in particular, the focus is over the next few weeks, serving Christ in the local church. If you're visiting us, that means you go home and serve him where you normally worship. But if you're here, that of course means serving here in St. Patrick's. It's worth saying that that is not the only place we serve the Lord Jesus, as we're going to see over this series. But this series is focused on that particular calling. So let's start with a prayer. Lord, as we talk about serving you, we're heading into a minefield. It could be that we start thinking we need to serve you because somehow we need to earn your love, or we need to serve you because we feel guilty, or we need to serve you because the vicar tells us that we need to serve you. Whereas actually, Lord, our service is to be from grace and from hearts that are thankful for all you've done. So, Lord, I pray that your truth would be heard by us today. I pray that you would speak to us. And yes, Lord, that you would both encourage and challenge us. We do not pretend to be the people we want to be, let alone the people you've called us to be. So please pick us up and push us on in our walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day, Katie, my wife, told our family something which was really shocking to us. She said that apparently there are no such thing as fairies. And that was really quite a surprise. Apparently there is no such thing as the dishwasher fairy, or the clearing the table away after supper fairy, or the picking up clothes from the floor and putting them in the washing machine fairy, or the hoovering fairy. Apparently, none of these fairies exist, which begs the question, why do they keep these things keep on happening? I think we decided that she was highlighting the fact that housework in our household is not always evenly distributed amongst its members. I don't know whether your households are like that. I've got to be very careful who I look at now, but, you know, to be honest, Dave, Ailish, no. I'm sure it's not fair. Now, if you talk to church ministers, perhaps then it's not surprising that the church, which is often described in the Bible as a household, when it starts going wrong, becomes a bit like that sort of household. When I go and talk to other ministers, experienced ministers, after a while, we always end up talking at some point about how hard it is to get people to agree to do the roles that are necessary for the flourishing of the local church. And that by and large, it's the old 10%, 90% rule. 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. So my prayer is that as a church, we will increasingly buck that trend. And we will see everyone involved in serving God at St. Patrick's in whatever way that God has called them to do and in whatever capacity God has given them strength to do. And that last point is really important because there are housebound members of our St. Patrick's family who are still part of our family, and actually the being able to access our sermons online has been a really big part of that for them. But actually they serve us greatly because they pray for us and they are a witness to us. But we're going to be thinking also about how we serve God here at St. Patrick's through the activities of St. Patrick's. And we're going to focus on one verse. So do turn with me in page 1175 in your Bibles. And we're going to look at verse 12, where it says this in chapter 4. To equip his people, this is Jesus, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And we're going to consider three things that will help us this morning in how we think about serving at St. Patrick's. We're going to think about who we are as Jesus' people, what we're equipped to do by Jesus, and how we are equipped by him. So let's look at that first one, who we are as God's, as Jesus' people. And we're going to look at just that one little phrase and see what it means in the context of the passage. And that phrase is right in the middle of our verse, for works of service. We are a people who do works of service. And here the word service, if you're a Greek scholar, is derived from the noun diakonos, which is where we get the word deacon, interestingly. And it's also where we get the word minister when we think about a church minister or a political minister. But here we discover that all God's people are to be these servants. There are a large number of parables of Jesus in which the language of master and servant is central to the story and is used to describe our relationship as servants to our master Jesus. And then because we are servants of the master, and he's the master who serves his people, we are also, we read by from Jesus, to serve each other, because that is what our master did. So in Matthew 20, Jesus says these words in verse 26. Whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. We are called to being servants and slaves to each other as we are servants and slaves to Christ. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the call to be a servant is the call on every Christian. It's actually the call of verse 1 of our chapter. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, to be a servant and slave of the Lord Jesus. And that is both a privilege and a challenge. It's a privilege because we are called by the King of Kings. And it turns out that this King of Kings is unlike any other king we know because he's the king who lives to serve his people. So we both don't, not just the privilege of having being the servant of someone so high and mighty, but also someone who is so wonderful. What a thing to be a servant of the Most High. But there's also a challenge here. We are called to be servants and neither employees or volunteers of our Lord. An employee is committed to their work often, but they're motivated by money. The volunteer, on the other hand, isn't motivated by money, but often commits the time that is spare once all the rest has been done. And in more than that, expects thanks and praise for the volunteering. But a servant commits his or her life to their master wholly. And not for reward of money or for the reward of praise, but it's simply the nature of being a servant. And we're going to see later in this series that Jesus time and again warns us that if we're going to be servants of him, we must be servants who are ready for his return. And I thought about that. What if we heard the door out there open And the Lord Jesus walked in and walked down here and stood at the front and looked at each one of us, looked at you and looked at me. What sort of servants would he say we've been to date? So we are Jesus's servants. That's who we are as God's people. Secondly, what are we equipped to do? Well, it says to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The body of Christ may be built up. The body of Christ is the way of describing God's people. And the central unit of God's people throughout the New Testament, that's the second part of the Bible written after Jesus and at the time of Jesus. The body of Christ, the central unit, is the local church. So when Paul talks about the body of Christ, he's thinking first and foremost of St. Patrick's Church, not the Church of England or the Church worldwide. And his aim, the aim of God's people in serving him, is that St. Patrick's is built up. But how much of a priority is that? Because there's lots of ways in which we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord in our workplace, in our families, in our neighbourhoods, in our social clubs. Everywhere we go, we are servants. We've seen that our whole life. When we sleep, we're serving the Lord. How much of a priority is serving at St. Patrick's? Well, we're going to see that for our master, it is a very high priority. So why is that? Because it's important that St. Patrick's grows in maturity, grows in stability, and grows in love. First of all, maturity. We see this in what Paul goes on to say in verses 13 and 15. So that the body of Christ, that's St. Patrick's here, may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then two verses later, we see that word mature again. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We are called to grow to maturity. And what a maturity is. It is glorious. It is to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's our maturity, not that we would grow in numbers or that grow in renown around the area, but that we would grow into the fullness of Christ, the most glorious one there is. And that part of that is that we will become a body that matches up to its head. Very striking here. The mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. What Jesus wants is that when people look at St. Patrick's and its head, Jesus, they see them in equal glory. Do you remember, did you ever have those things, children, those books, about like cartoon pictures or drawn pictures of people in their different workplaces? So you had a nurse, you had a firefighter, you had a police officer, you had a builder, you had a plumber and all the rest of it. Yeah? Never a vicar, but there you go. And then what you noticed was that each picture was divided into three cards. Yeah, and you could flip over just one of the cards, and then you could have hilarious comedy with the head of a builder, the body of a nurse, and the legs of a civil servant. And, you had a hilarious thing. Well, if you like, when the church is immature, it's a mixed up picture. We have the head of Christ, but the body and the legs don't match. But our role in serving God, serving Jesus, in serving his people is that the legs and body would match, that we would reflect the glory of Jesus. So that's a big priority, isn't it? That's a big motivation in our service. So that our church would become glorious, looking like Jesus, so that we would be more glorious. You would look more like Jesus. So grow in maturity, also grow in stability. So he starts off with keeping on this track of maturity, then we will no longer be infants. But then he changes to a maritime metaphor. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. If we're an immature church, we'll be like a raft on the North Sea. A shaky raft. And the swell's going one way and the waves are going another and the wind's blowing another way and the raft is just tossed about. It's terrifying. And eventually it will collapse. It will capsize. That's what the immature church is like. Because at any one time, the church finds itself in a massive sea, which is the world that does not submit to Christ. And we see what some of those winds and waves and swell are for us today. The church being battered by questions of what does it mean to be me? Where do we find our identity? Is it in how we feel about ourselves? No, it's in what Christ says about us. Other winds are what does it mean to be married and what place does sex have? And how can I know what God wants and has said? And if we are immature, we will be like a raft blown every way. And our teachings and our beliefs will just change to go with the times. It happened with Nazi Germany. The church was like a raft and joined in with what its culture was saying. But instead, Paul says that when we become mature, we'll be less like a raft. I was trying to think of a different illustration in the North Sea. I thought an oil rig. Yes, it's still battered by the waves. It's still hit by the wind. But its foundations are in the bedrock. And so actually, as we build up the local church, we ourselves will find ourselves as stable as our local church is. Not arrogant, but confident in the truth. And thirdly, to grow in love. We see this twice. We say in verse 15, instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect. But then also, from him the whole body, joined and together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are to grow in love as a community. But we need to be careful here. Because the Bible means something much more sophisticated when it talks about love than our world does. Because the Bible's understanding of love, God's understanding of love, is not a toothless love. It is a truthful love. Contrast, for instance, our culture's view of love with what Jesus tells us in the Bible. Our culture and the Bible agree on this. To love someone is to want the best for them. But here's the question. What is the best for them? Our culture says, well, wanting the best for them means leaving them to do whatever they want, because all I want is for them to be happy. But Jesus says through his word that wanting the best for someone else is wanting what is true. Because what is true is from God, and what is true will last eternally. So let me give you an example. Example of the person who falls in love with a married person. And that married person has fallen in love with them as well. What's the answer? What's the loving thing? Well, for our culture it is, that person should leave their marriage and be with the person they love. But you can't resist love, and why would you keep them from being happy? The Bible says they may find happiness for a time, maybe even to the end of their life, but they'll have gone against God's truth and therefore God's plan for them. And in so doing, rejected the one who is our only hope for eternal life. It's not truly loving to encourage somebody to do what is against God's word. In fact, actually, it just makes us them like us at the expense of what will happen to them. So we are to be a truthful, loving church. Loving in truth, not a toothless in its love. And so what we see that as the church grows in maturity, stability and love, as St. Patrick's grows in maturity, stability and love, we are blessed by it and helped. If you like, the local church is like serving the local church is like serving your own body. You look after your bodies. Yes, you do. As a parent, you clothe yourselves, you feed yourselves, you exercise your bodies. Why? Is it sort of some sort of noble altruism that I'm going to look after this body even though it brings nothing to me? No. You look after your body because it brings blessing to you. So it is with the local church. And so the challenge for us is, how high a priority is it for us? We've seen it's a high priority for Jesus. How high a priority is serving the local church for you and me? Now, life can feel like a juggling act, can't it? Trying to keep too many balls in the air. Work, family, church, me, all the rest of it. And Jesus has called us to serve him in all of these areas. Because we're not just his employees, we are his servants. And so our whole lives are for him. And it's healthy to recognise that at times we can't keep all the balls in the air at one time. We have to put one down. But here's the question. Is the ball that's always put down serving the church? So, here's a test for you. Do you find yourself, can you think of times when you said, well, I can't help out at St. Patrick's because of work? You probably can, I imagine you have. And that would be appropriate. But if you've never said, I can't do that at work because I need to serve at St. Patrick's, or in fact, even if they're not balanced, or even if the church doesn't more happen, you sacrifice things at work for St. Patrick's, you've got to ask the question, is that Jesus' priority for you as his servant? Or are your priorities overturning his? The same is true for your family or for your leisure activities. It's the same is true for me. We need to ask ourselves, is there a balance in what is giving way? So we've seen that building up St. Patrick's is a high priority for our Master Jesus. We are his servants. And if it's a high priority for him, should it be a low priority for us? And we've also seen that we're equipped by Jesus to serve the local church. But here's the final question. How are we equipped? Well, let's look at what it says. To equip his people for works of service. Well, what is used to equip his people for works of service? That's a good question to ask for verse. We looked at the verse before. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So why does Jesus mention those particular roles in the church? Is it because they're more important? No. It's simply this. They all have one thing in common. They are all aspects of serving that orbit around teaching and proclaiming the good news about Jesus. The apostle and the evangelist are outward-looking roles, taking the good news about Jesus to a world that desperately needs it if they're going to escape hell. The prophet, teacher, and pastor are more sort of inward building. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, taught to God's people to build them up. That's what I'm seeking to do now. Now, the church needs many, many more than these gifts. But to serve Christ at all, it needs the good news about Jesus taught well, the Bible taught well, so that it can know Jesus better and proclaim Jesus better and be built to maturity and stability and love. So here's a good point. For you to serve Jesus effectively, you must prioritize learning about Jesus more than serving him. If your service of Jesus is getting in the way of you being part of a home group, or coming to church on a Sunday, or regularly, weekly listening to sermons, you've got it wrong. You must prioritize learning about Jesus. I'm not saying it's because David the Vicar, I'm saying that's what God's word says. For you to be equipped, you must prioritize that. Listen to sermons as much as you can. When you're on the train, going to work, when you're doing exercise, whatever you're doing. I was so blessed when I did my rowing machine the other day and I was listening to a sermon by Kevin DeYoung. It blew me away in the middle of my exercise. It was the most amazing spiritual moment. Are you wasting your time when you exercise? It's a really good challenge, isn't it? Equip, make sure you're equipped to be a good servant. We must be a people who constantly learn more about Jesus. Because it's something you have to constantly work at. I'm going to nick an illustration by a bloke called Andy Prime here. So I'm not taking credit for this. This is sort of referenced and whatever. He spoke at Keswick. That's where I heard this. Well, actually, I heard it when I was listening on the rowing machine to his talk. And he talked about the illustration of a decorator. He said, knowing the gospel, he used it for something else, but I'm going to use knowing the gospel. Knowing the gospel is not like decorating. Now, when you decorate a wall, you get halfway across it, and then you get bored, probably. I don't know about you, but certainly I do. And you get hungry. So you think, oh, no, I'll have a cup of tea and I'll have a biscuit. You go and have a cup of tea and you have a biscuit. And what do you see when you come back? A half-decorated wall, and then you carry on. And it made no difference that you went away. No, knowing the gospel is more like pushing a boulder up a hill. You get halfway up, you think, I quite fancy a biscuit and a drink. I'll just go and get it. You go have it. And when you come back, where's the boulder? Where's the boulder? On the top of your car. Yes, it's at the bottom of the hill on top of your car. That's what knowing the gospel is like. You have to keep going at it. You can't stop. You can't say, oh, I did that. I did a course a year ago. It's okay. You've got to keep on. So, what have we seen today? We have seen who we are as Jesus' people is we're servants of Jesus. What are we equipped to do? To build up the local church, St. Patrick, so that we're built up. And how are we equipped to do that? Through the Word of God that tells us the good news about Jesus. So three questions to go away from with today. First question. What do I need to change in my life so that I'm more like a servant of Jesus than an employee or a volunteer? Number two. What is Jesus, my master, calling me to do to serve my family at St. Patrick's? And number three, how can I equip myself better with knowing the good news about Jesus? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that I'm your servant. I thank you because it is such a privilege and such a joy to be your servant. Lord, I remember when I was a teacher and everyone else was working for their careers or working for the headmaster or something like that. But I was working for you, and that was so much more wonderful. Lord, please, may you stir your people's hearts that they would delight in serving you, the King of Kings. That they would be committed to serving you in your body here at St. Patrick's. That we would be glorious. And thirdly, that you would continue to equip us through your word. Amen.